Okay, welcome. It's great to have you all here. Okay, so what's going to happen for the next hour? Basically, we're going to do a few things. I'm going to interview Flame because you came here to hear about gospel rap, right? In some form, hip-hop, Christ, the intersection of the two, right? Yeah, you weren't thinking this is banjo playing because if you did, you're in trouble. But no, we're going to talk gospel rap. We have a Grammy-nominated rapper in the room, so I figure I'll interview him, give you a chance to meet him, and then we'll throw it out to you, your questions, okay? So be thinking of any questions you have for him or for me or for young Noah as well, okay? So be thinking about that. It could be about rap. It could be how do you get started in rap. It could be how do you handle different spiritual matters. You know, how do you handle being a high schooler and living for Christ in a difficult environment? It could be any of these things. So that's what I want you to be thinking about. And then at the end, if you're attentive, we may just do a freestyle for you.
Ooh.
Okay? Because what? Okay. That's right.
What's a freestyle? What's a freestyle?
Because what you may not know is I am also a rapper.
That's true.
Okay, I've never been nominated for a Grammy, but, you know, that's okay. I'm nominated in my own mind.
He has a speech prepared.
That's right. So let me just begin us in prayer, and then I'm going to start interviewing Flame, because I want him to say a lot of stuff here, okay? So let's just pray, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time. What an exciting thing to gather with these students, Lord, and speak of you and of your Son and his transcendent greatness over all things, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just pray that we would lift him up in this hour, and I pray that you would encourage these students to live boldly for your Son through our session. I pray that you would bless our time. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Flame, so I'm going to interview you,
all right.
And you know, you can take it where you want to go.
Let's do it.
We'll do that for about a half an hour, maybe.
Perfect.
We'll see.
Perfect.
Can you just give us your background and tell us your story?
Yes, indeed. Well, my name is Marcus Gray. That's what my parents named me. But my artist name is Flame. I am from St. Louis, Missouri. Any persons in here from Missouri? St. Louis, perhaps?
We got one.
Okay, we got one.
One.
What's up?
We got
somebody
two.
In the back. Excellent. Three. There we go. Actually, the Trinitarian number. Like that. St. Louis, I see you got the KC hat on. Okay. Is it KC? It's all good. But anyway, from St. Louis, Missouri, I grew up in the inner city, always influenced by hip-hop culture, rap music. My parents and my family, for the most part, were Christian and Christian influence, and they tried to push me towards that way. So I grew up always impressed with Jesus. I liked the idea of going to heaven versus hell. I wanted to be right with God, but I didn't want to take the steps that it took to actually be in a relationship with Christ. So I always just had, you know, that in my conscience as I lived life. But nevertheless, hip hop and rap music is what really influenced my thinking, my worldview, my practices, my behavior. And at a certain point, God allowed events to happen in my life to get my attention. I got into a tragic accident. I was hit 3 times by an 18-wheeler truck carrying fuel. It was about a 12-car pileup. And needless to say, I survived. Thank God I'm here today. But I remember going to my grandmother and asking her, why did God let this accident happen? I had to get, you know, a lot of work done on my entire left side. I had to do physical therapy for about a year almost. And she just told me, I don't know why God let it happen, but you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin, turn to Christ. And not too long after that, she passed away from a heart attack. So the Lord kind of used those two events really to draw me to himself. And from that point on, I started writing music, but just as a personal devotional to God, not trying to break into the music industry, but just my, you know, my thankfulness to what God had done in my life. So I would just write raps to God before I would, you know, read my Bible and things of that nature. And then I had the opportunity to actually stand in front of people at a youth night and to do music. And people were like, man, I like that. That was cool. And it just kind of, you know, spiraled from that point. But that's pretty much the story of how I got in this position.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you started doing some raps and you were expressing your faith in your music, but how did you get started doing this whole Christian rap thing? I mean, going all over, touring, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did that happen?
So after the youth night, I connected with a group at my local church that had been doing it a lot longer than I had. So they helped me understand, you know, what it meant to actually present it as a ministry slash, you know, hobby, career, whatever you want to call it. And so I just had a lot of practice being on stage and ministering the gospel with just my peers, people my age. So we started off at just, you know, youth nights, juvenile detention centers, different parades and local events in my city, and just volunteering to really serve in that way. So I would say, hey, I'm a Christian rap artist. A lot of people like rap. Can you give me the opportunity to share my talent, my gifts? And they'd be like, sure. So I would have a chance to really share the gospel and perform or minister. And a couple of people would see me from the city, different pastors, different youth pastors, and they would say, I like that. Will you be interested in coming out to my youth night? So it just really kind of picked up from there. My friend and I, his name is JR, we started a production company together. We were about, say, I guess I was about 17, 18, we started a company, and we just built the studio, started writing and recording, and we put together a little EP, which is like a 4 to 5 song CD, and we just would pass it out, give it away free, and just go to the malls and, you know, just share the gospel and pass out CDs and say, hey, do you listen to rap? You know, at least, you know, 4 out of 5 people listen to rap or rap themselves. So we just pass out CDs and share the gospel. We might even break into a cypher right in the middle of the mall. Just they're talking about, you know, drugs and guns and clubs. And, you know, we're talking about Jesus and repentance. So it just really progressed from that point. And, yeah, it took off. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So remember, have some questions. If you have questions in your mind, I'm going to let you ask them in a few minutes. Okay. All right. All right. But. Okay, so that's how you got started.
Yeah.
Now tell us what it looks like today. What do you do? Are you doing this full time?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that? How is it? You're married.
How is
that going? Tell us how you are now.
Absolutely. So now it's crazy because I've probably been doing it a total of 14 years, but with a record label about a good 7, 8 years, something like that. And at this point, my wife and I, we have our own record label. It's called Clear Sight Music. And what we did was we started a record label. We affiliated the label with our local church so that we can have, you know, accountability and some authority in place that way. But we really wanted to bring artists to the table like Young Noah, guys who are in their city, just passionate about the ministry, about the gospel, sharing the gospel like crazy, and very talented. So we had the opportunity to bring other artists on. So right now what we do is we travel all over the world, literally. We've been almost to every continent except, like, Antarctica. So we've just been all over the place, and it's really cool because we get to see what God is doing all over the world, and it kind of reminds me of the Roman roads. So you see, like, New Testament history or, you know, the Bible in general, you just see the Roman roads, kind of all the different provinces all over the world. You take these Roman roads to get to different places, and there's this common language, you know, that the people would communicate with. So rap music is kind of like that. People all over the world love rap music. So in that way, I get to take what I do to places I probably wouldn't be, you know, in normal circumstances and communicate God's heart because there's this language that people all over the world understand, which is rap music. So that's what we do now, and we affiliate with churches and organizations who are just passionate about sharing the gospel, ministry, and seeing people saved and discipled as well. Mm.
So you could go to your youth pastor and say, we want flame to come and rap.
Flame.
We want flame. No, I'm just kidding. You could, though. Isn't that cool? That's very cool. You couldn't have done that 20 years ago in a church.
Oh, yeah,
if you had
true.
Said to your youth pastor, your pastor, can we have a rapper come to our church? Most of you weren't born yet. That's
like,
okay.
Satan
That's
is okay. not welcome in this place.
That's right. That's right. So things have changed.
Yeah.
Actually, in line with that, can you talk about the broader hip-hop gospel rap movement? What has happened in the last 15-ish years to change this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what has happened is a lot of credit goes to a group called Cross Movement.
Who knows Cross Movement? Raise your hand.
Okay.
Not many.
About 2.5, okay. 3 maybe. That's what's up. There was a group called Cross Movement, and they started maybe around 94. And what they did was they had this idea, which was to start a record label, but to preach the gospel in their music. And at this point, the most influential worldview in hip-hop, rap music, was Islam, Islamic thought. So people really had never seen Christianity land in the lap of hip-hop and hip-hop land in the lap of Christianity. So they just said, man, we want to, you know, communicate the gospel message through rap music. They started a label, but then these guys also started to go to Bible college, They would graduate from there, then they would go to seminary. So they would just pack their music with doctrine and theology and Bible. And all of a sudden, the church was like, man, this might be a valid and legitimate ministry. So they started to allow them to really come in, and they had just great business practice, and they, you know, had a good structure, and they started to sign artists like myself at one point. There was another guy named The Truth. There's a guy named Lecrae. I don't know if you heard of him. He was signed with Cross Movement for a while. So we were all on the same record label, and what happened was the church started to really see it and started to endorse it, and they would bring us out, give us the opportunity to speak like we're doing today, and then also teach classes and do concerts at the end. And I think what happened was people started to trust that this was a valid ministry, and you know, these guys are, you know, qualified to teach and, you know, preach as well. And the music industry embraced it because a lot of people started to get excited about it, and record sales started to, you know, fly off the shelves. And they also said, there's money in this. So it became a legitimate business as well. So those two things coupled together really, you know, take the credit for the last 15 years and where Christian rap is now, getting a lot of mainstream attention and momentum. Like you see people all over, you know, just secular media doing Christian music, so in rap in particular.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, who were the influences, rap-wise, hip-hop-wise, on you? Yep. And this is a interesting question because a lot of times in high school and in college we have to work through how much of the world's music we listen to, right? Mm-hmm. You guys know this tension, don't you? There's some good music out there that you want to listen to,
yeah,
but you want to follow Christ, yeah, and wholeheartedly at that, right? Mm-hmm. How do you balance these things? So, Flame, let's hear how you worked that out in your life.
That's good. So I came up in the era and the generation. I guess I'm telling my age now. I might as well tell you, I'm 30 years old, so I just turned
30. There's no shame in that.
You know, so I feel like I can tell people what to do now. Once you hit 30, there's a certain, you know. But anyway, so I grew up influenced by people like Tupac, Nas, Biggie. These guys were really the philosophers of my day. They articulated how to think about, you know, society, politics, manhood, womanhood. So they really just put all of these things in their music, and they, you know, formulated the minds of the younger generation. So those guys really influenced me on how to write, how to think. But once I became a Christian, I started to understand the world as God sees it and as God intends us, for us to live it. And I kind of, you know, I threw a lot of that music away because it conflicted with my worldview. Although I respected the artistic craft and the skill set that those guys brought to the table, but I realized that there was a conflict between what they endorsed and what Jesus endorses. And that tension became an internal struggle for me. And I said, if I want to please God, but these guys glorify the things that put my Lord on the cross, now I have a problem. Because if I'm driving around every day actually excited about the things that killed Jesus, then that says something about my personal relationship with him. So I had to really process and think through what's a healthy dosage of music to take in and what's a healthy dosage of music to put out. And at that point, I decided with the content coming from these guys, I just couldn't continue to listen to them and get excited about it because it said more about me, if anything. So you guys probably have questions about that. But my personal opinion with just struggling with that, I think hip-hop is unique. Hip-hop is unique because typically in a song format, you have three verses and you have, you know, a hook that's in between each verses or the chorus, right? So each verse is about 16 bars, 16 measures, and you pack so much content in these one song. So it's not like other genres of music where some things are repetitive or you might hear, you know, the same stream of thought over and over. In rap music, they're indoctrinating you with so much and in one 3-minute, 4-minute song. So for me, what I think is, if you look at it with the mindset of, okay, would I drive around listening to a song? Somebody was like, say this was a song. Somebody had a song about your mom or your aunt or whoever, right? The whole song, they just, I hate your mom. She makes me sick. And just riding around like, would you drive around listening to that about your own mom? You would not, exactly. So I feel like that about my Lord. It's just, it's hard for me to understand driving around listening to my iPad, over and over, just songs that disrespect my father, disrespect my Lord. So I began, as I grew closer to God, I said, I can't tolerate this So if I do listen to music that's not explicitly Christian, at least has to be consistent with my worldview, something that, you know, Jesus wouldn't frown at or be grieved by me hearing. So that's my thought and philosophy on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've released albums on different themes.
Mm-hmm.
Sin.
Yeah.
Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just walk us through how you understand the gospel? And you gave us a little of your story.
Yeah.
But can you walk us through the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and how that impacts and changes a life?
Yep.
What should the gospel look like for these students, many of them in public schools?
That's good.
Tough context.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
What's the gospel?
Yeah, same thing for me, man. It's funny because I got saved in high school. So I was a pretty popular guy in high school, I must say. you know, sports and all that fun stuff. But when I became a Christian, I was one of the fanatical Christians. Like, I was the guy who, and I had a class, it was a job readiness class. I just became a Christian. And I was sitting probably where this young lady is with a nice shirt on. And my teacher was standing right here, and he was talking about how to fold an envelope and how to put the letter in there. And I was just sitting in the back like. So I just stood up. I said, this is not important. Like, literally, middle of the class. I said, the most important thing is Jesus coming to this world, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for sin, resurrected from the grave, and whoever doesn't believe that will end up in hell. Literally. In the class.
Wow.
And my teachers are standing there like, like, what's happening right now? So needless to say, I got kicked out of the room and, you know, had to go to the principal's office. But anyway, my experience was, I was so impressed with Jesus, and I was so impacted by what he did in my life. Just all the stuff I used to do, just growing up in the hood, being impressed with the world, trying to live their life. And I've seen many people end up dead or in jail at early ages. And I was just, you know, I was frustrated with what sin has done to our world. I was frustrated with what sin had done to my personal life and things I've seen in my family. And I was so excited about this newfound love in Christ and how he loved me and loved us enough and expressed his love in such a unique way that he would come and meet the perfect standards of the Father, the perfect standards of the law. Mm. And not only would he do that, but he would actually get on the cross and take the full cup of God's wrath for the things that I loved that he hated. So I was so impressed and so impacted by that message that my understanding of how to live my life was to share this good news with other people. Now, as I matured, I learned better ways to communicate the gospel without necessarily, you know, pushing everybody away. But it really put me in a mindset of love, and I wanted people to go to heaven at the end of the day. I wanted people to know my God, and I wanted them to go to heaven. So really, I'm just encouraging you all. If you're a Christian and you're in this room, I know how it is to be in high school and just still trying to balance that thing between being normal and still, you know, standing for your faith. So I had to work through that myself. And I, like I said, God balanced me out. And really what I'm just encouraging you all to do is just to open their mouths and say something, really. I mean, let people know you're a Christian, you go to church, and help them understand, you know, you're not, God doesn't take you out of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. So you can still dress, you know, in a way that's normal. You don't have to start wearing suits and ties and going to school. Like, I had a Bible. I had a Jesus Christ is the real thing for my ID badge, and I had a hat that said, you know, it was written in a Coca-Cola font, and it was like, Jesus Christ is Lord. So I became a fanatic. I stopped caring about cutting my hair, and I was just a bum for Jesus. So you don't have to go to that extreme. Yes, I was like, I don't care about nothing but Jesus. But so you don't have to go to that extreme. You can still be a normal person, but let people know that you're in love with Christ and share the gospel with them, because they're going to be just talking to you about the craziest stuff. I mean, y'all know what goes on in high school. But just be real and be honest with people and what you used to love and what God has done in your heart. So, yeah.
Okay. I have one more question.
Go for it.
And then we will throw it out to you. Oh, actually, then we want to hear from young Noah.
Yes.
Okay. We want to hear from them.
No pressure,
from him,
man. No
and
pressure.
Then you can have your questions, okay? So how has your time here, you know, you're coming from a pretty different environment in St. Louis.
Yeah.
From the hood, it sounds like, to some extent.
And you
come here, and you're on this campus, which is a little different.
Yeah, it is.
How has your time at Boyce and now Southern been?
Yeah.
What has that done for you?
I think people that choose to come to this school, they're in a certain mindset already. You've made your resolve to give your life away for the sake of the gospel. And there's certain barriers that you're willing to set aside for the sake of the gospel. And that was the mindset that I was in. I had seen a lot, done a lot, experienced a lot in ministry, but I wanted to hone in on my skills. So as I came to this particular school from St. Louis, Louisville is a lot slower paced than St. Louis. So it was just a cultural change, just in normal activities. My wife and I, we came down, and she's from Cincinnati, Ohio, so she's a little more familiar with kind of this area. But nevertheless, so we came here, and when I enrolled at Boyce College, I was like, I don't necessarily know what I want to study other than Bible. But as I started to hone in on my personality and my life and my childhood experiences, I found out that they had a biblical counseling program, which for me was encouraging because just because it was a counseling program didn't mean that they held back on the theology, on the Bible. So still intense when it comes to Bible and truth, but nevertheless, they help you understand how to connect the dots between the practical issues. You know, someone may be dealing with a certain addiction or a certain deep-seated issue in life or certain habitual habits that they've developed, and they don't know how to shake them because they don't understand what the Bible says about them and how this process of, you know, changing and growing in Christ can actually impact you in a deep way, and you can become, you know, free of some of those things. And so I wanted to study biblical counseling, and that's what I ended up doing here. And, yeah, so I actually forgot the question, so I'm going to stop talking now. But
that's, you answered it.
Okay, good.
Without
good.
Even meaning to.
Good, good, good.
There's a lunch for Boyce right after this.
Maybe that's
okay,
what
young
is.
Noah, we're going to go to, can you give
him mic him up. Let me
just
see.
Quickly, we'll,
I'll just give
we'll get that, because we want to hear his story. Then I'm going to give you a few minutes of my story, which is not quite as dramatic, but I'll give you mine while he's miking
I
up.
I'll some of the details, too.
He edited. That's good. Okay. So that's what we'll do. We'll talk with young Noah. I'll say a few words about how I came to rap. Why am I here? And then question. Okay. So young Noah,
yes,
how you
sir.
Doing?
I'm well. I'm well.
Excellent.
How's everybody doing? Perfect.
Great. Great. Okay.
Sorry, I gotta be so close to you, man.
It's cool, man.
You guys can hug. You can hug. Whatever you want to do. Tell us your story. Where are you from? How you came to know Christ and what the Lord is doing in your life now.
Just real quick, I'm from Georgia, a small city outside of Atlanta called Noonan. Grew up in the hood for the most part, you know, hoods are everywhere. I just remember being raised in churches and knowing about Jesus, but I had not had that experience with Christ, that conversion, that Jesus or nothing experience. So, amen. You know, I grew up influenced by hip-hop music, started rapping at the Boys and Girls Club. I was pursuing a secular hip-hop career, and I was on the brink of success for the most part. And at that time when I was at the brink of success in the secular hip-hop industry, my life started to go down this downward spiral just from making poor decisions, and ended up giving my life to Christ. And after that, it's like the devil just tried to elevate my secular hip-hop career to the maximum place.
Wow,
and
wow.
Basically ended up turning my back on that career. Took a year off from rap music. And he just began to convict me to write songs about him. And they were for me, you know. And I let my little brothers hear them. And they're about y'all age. And they were like, what the heck is this? And, like, this dude was rapping about Jesus. Because they had their minds on, okay, my big brother's about to be a, you know, a rap star for the world. And, you know, they were Christians, but they were cool with that because it's what I wanted. But so I started rapping about Jesus. You know, I went back to college. Series of events that got me kicked out of college before I got saved. Went back to the same school. And just became a minister. I became a person you would see at different events. Rapping about God, doing poems about Jesus. I was known as the guy on campus who would share the gospel, who was not ashamed to say, hey, I'm a Christian, and I would preach to people. Yeah. I would share my faith with people. And it took a lot because, you know, I'm not really that kind of person, or at least I wasn't that kind of person who would just come to a complete stranger and just tell them about Jesus because it's hard. It's not
hard.
You get nervous and stuff like that. Yeah. But the Spirit of God would give me strength and courage to just say stuff. Like, I had experiences like Flame where I would just start screaming out stuff. Like, man, like, you know, and I would do stuff like that, yeah. Crazy stuff. And yeah. Yeah, I graduated from college last July. I got a degree in marketing and a degree in business, real estate.
And, well, congratulated. Congratulations.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you. And, you know, as soon as I was, this is how crazy God will rock your life. My last semester in college, you know, I sent in a demo to this guy, and he called me. And it just blew my mind that God heard my prayer and answered my prayer and got me this record deal right as I graduated college. You know, I walked straight into a major Christian rap record label, and he's just taking me all over the world, man, like places I never thought I would be, like Europe, just islands and Canada and just all over the place that we just getting started. So my encouragement to y'all is if you really submit your life to Jesus, he will lift you up. Like, if you humble yourself before God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You don't even know what the desires of your heart are because the heart is so crazy you can't really read it. But God will put you in a place that you want to be that you don't even know you want to be. And then it'll dawn on you, like, wow, like, this is my heart's desire. And God placed me here. And it'll just rock you.
It's a preacher right there.
That's all.
Wow. Okay. And one more question for you. So have you dropped an album yet?
I got a mixtape. If you go to our website, clearsightmusic.com.
Write it on the board. We have a marker? Do we have a marker?
Here we go.
Have a marker.
Here, you write it. My handwriting's not the best.
All right. Here it is. You ready?
I want y'all to be able to read it. Clear Sight.
Clear.
S-I-G-H-T. Music. Yeah. Perfect.
Got to work on my A's up here.
Yeah, write this down, people.
Clear Sight Music.
Music.
Music. How do you like this?
.com? .com.
Okay.
Perfect.
This
your
is
handwriting
good.
Is interesting.
Look at that.
Okay.
Thank you.
You go to... For ease, I'm just
thank okay. you very much.
You'll see a big picture of the emblem on that young man's shirt right there. You'll also see a picture of my mixtape album cover. Click on Enter Site, and it's a big poster. You just click it. You can download my mixtape for free and
awesome.
Enjoy
for
it.
Free.
I'm also featured on Flame's new album, The Sixth. I got two songs on there that I thoroughly enjoy. And, you know, yeah.
Okay. Can we get a come back to Flame?
Yes.
Flame, before I say my quick thing,
Oh yeah.
You got to tell us about The Sixth. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give it to us.
The Sixth, quickly, it's my sixth album. Hence the title, The Sixth. But it's also based on the sixth day. The Bible says that God created humanity, male and female, on the sixth day. So what I wanted to do was explore anthropology, the study of man, who we are, who God created us to be, what was his original intention for us. Have we fallen from that place? And I'm arguing that we have. And then I'm also transitioning to talking about Jesus as the perfect God-man who, you know, perfectly demonstrated God's idea of humanity, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for sin, resurrecting, and now through him, humanity is placed in Christ, you know, once you repent and turn, and then you begin to, you know, be restored back to God's original idea for humanity. So I'm just really thinking that thing through and focusing on Christ in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, and how we overcame sin and temptation, and now those who are in Christ also overcome through him. So it's really thought-provoking, but the music is fun, it's big, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So, The Sixth.
The Sixth, and Intersight. Intersight? Is that your mixtape?
What's it called? It's just Young Noah's.
Oh, no, mixtape. It's just, I don't know where you got that.
Yeah.
Did you say Intersight?
Probably,
it's no title, it's just Young Noah mixtape.
Yeah, self-titled, yeah.
Young Noah. Young Noah.
Put out another one later on.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I excellent. Like Intersight. Maybe you should rename it.
My user, right? Yeah, Intersight.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll give you my story very quickly. Okay? it doesn't lead to full-time rap career. It leads to teaching theology at Boyce College. So a little different path, but God is good no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Maine. So we have Midwest, South, and New England.
Nice.
All loving rap, right? So we're bringing the country together over hip-hop. So I grew up in Maine, coastal Maine, and I grew up in a Christian home and loved the Lord. And in the 90s, like so many out there, I began listening to hip-hop. I think the first thing I ever heard, I'm not even sure if I should say the name, was the movie Menace to Society. I do not encourage you to watch it. Do not watch it.
Straight to the pit.
Nobody watch it. Okay. That was my first contact, really, with hip-hop culture. So I'm from coastal Maine. We have more moose than we do rappers, okay? You have to know that.
That's true, yeah.
Seriously, we do. It's not a joke. So growing up in Maine, didn't have many influences in that direction, but heard this music and was just gripped by it because it was such a powerful medium. You could tell a story through rap in a way that, I mean, you can do in other musical forms, but there's just this driving intensity to the words that gripped me from the first time I heard it. Because I don't know about any of you, who likes writing poetry? Who writes poetry? It's not, don't be ashamed if you're a guy to say you write poetry. Okay, good. Some guys, some girls. I grew up writing poetry and just wanted to express myself in that way. There's this power to poetry that comes out. And I started realizing when I got to college and I started hearing some more Christian rap, I heard the Gospel Gangsters. Who's heard of the Gospel Gangsters? A few people. Okay. Hilarious. I heard the Gospel Gangsters on Soul Train one night. All right?
Wow. Man, we went to the top.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I realized, I don't know about you, but I was kind of in and out during high school. So I had professed faith in Christ, and I think that the Lord had saved me. He had made me trust in Jesus and love him and follow him. So the Lord, I think, had transformed me. But unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, I didn't have many Christian peers. Some of you have a strong youth group, at least, if you're in a public school or even a Christian school. And you have some peers, right, who you can get together with and talk about the Bible with, talk about Christ with, these sorts of things. Those are really necessary things. Of course, the thing you most need is a strong local church. You need a local church where you are nourished, where you hear the word preached, people are keeping you accountable, these sorts of things. You're taking the Lord's Supper. You're being reminded of Christ's death and resurrection. I didn't have many friends, and for that reason, I kind of struggled back and forth in high school. But in hearing the Gospel Gangsters on Soul Train, just randomly one night, I realized I could start trying to turn my poems into raps. So maybe I represent a little bit more of some of you and your background more than these guys grew up more with hip-hop culture. I don't know about you. I don't know if you grew up. I did not. I grew up with country music culture. So similar to a lot of you. I like country music. Nice. I like it. It's good. So I started rhyming the ends of my lines to my poems, and those turned into some raps. And then I found a guy on my campus, my college campus in Maine. I went to a school called Bowdoin College, little private school, very secular. And this guy was a hip-hop producer from Georgia. And we made some stuff. And then a few years later, in 2004, I flew to Atlanta. I'd gotten in touch with this guy who worked in Outkast's studio. He wasn't Outkast's engineer, but he worked in their studio, very talented. Remnant Militia, okay. You guys know them? And he recorded an album of mine. So I recorded a rap album. So I'm the only professor at Southern or Boyce who has recorded a rap album. I'm not sure if you heard it, you would still applaud, but that's okay. Because it's recorded. You can't take that away from me, right? So, but what I have seen, I'll close with this. What I have seen in gospel rap has been an immense blessing to me. Because what you see in this whole movement is you see Christians from diverse backgrounds coming together, united in nothing other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Our identity isn't in something different. It's not in being cool. It's not in, living like the world or these sorts of things. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in a foolish message, because Jesus Christ is foolishness to our culture, right? Many of you have felt this. You have felt your cheeks get red as you share the gospel or as you speak up as a Christian in class, in high school, or when your peers, you know, are taunting someone, they're making fun of someone because they don't look the right way or they're not cool, and you have either not joined in or you have stood up for that person and you have felt yourself feeling awkward and shamed, you are living in a foolish sense as the world sees it. But in reality, you are living in the wisest sense, and God is applauding you for how you live. Every time you speak up, as these guys did and as I did, after September 11th at my very secular college, when the two towers fell, I stood up at a rally, a school-wide rally, thousands of people there, and I shared the gospel. My knees were shaking. I mean, you could see my legs shaking, but I shared the gospel through the power of the Spirit, not through my power, only through God's power. When you do things like that, or even just talking to one classmate, or even, again, like I said, treating someone kindly because God has saved you, when you do those things, God is so pleased with you. And though you look foolish, and though you feel ashamed, you are winning a heavenly reward. Mm-hmm. That is what life is all about, living for God's glory in the here and now. Yeah. So, gospel rap encourages us to do that. It's a bold form of music that's storytelling, it's preaching, it's many things. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in lots of different ways. You can tell stories, you can preach things, you can talk about hermeneutics, you can rap about the Trinity, you can rap about anything you want, but it's all for God's glory. Yeah. And so that's a beautiful thing. It's something that unites people, and it's all about the Lord. Yeah. So my story represents that, Flames does, Young Noah's does, and I hope in some way you've come here today. You chose to come to this breakout session. I don't know why. We don't know why. Mm-hmm. But I hope that in some way you go forth from here and you're emboldened, mm-hmm. like these guys, maybe like us up here, mm-hmm. to live boldly for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. Not just to talk about careers and adult life, but living boldly for Jesus Christ in a secular world, in a very dark place.
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. What questions do you have for any of the three of us, mm-hmm. that you want to talk about? We are going to take about, it's 11:39. Lunch is at 12, right? Is this right? Okay, so we want to save 5 minutes for a freestyle if you keep listening. We will not freestyle if you get rowdy. Do not get rowdy. I'm just kidding. You're not getting rowdy at all. So you have about 15 minutes. What questions do you want to ask? Yes, back here.
Yes. I met V. Rose. I actually met her manager first at the Grammys, and we just kind of built a relationship, you know, her and her manager and myself. And then I had a concert in Sacramento, California, which is her hometown. She closed out the night with a song, and I was just like, who is this singing? I didn't know who she was. Saw her manager, and I was like, hey, who is that girl singing? He's like, that's my artist, V. Rose. And we just, you know, connected again that way. And then she did a song off my last CD titled Captured. And then after that, we end up signing her to our record label. So, yeah, it was pretty cool, man.
Okay. V. Rose.
V. Rose. She was a young lady with us last night, if you were there.
She's on.
Ah, see? She knows cool outfits, so.
Okay. And she's on this.
Yep.
ClearSightMusic.com.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to keep doing a commercial for this.
Nice. Are you picking and choosing?
Yes, I'll pick.
Excellent.
It gives me something to do.
How do I get beats? I have like a cluster of guys I go to for production, and I'll usually communicate the emotion or the style of music I'm looking for. Then they'll compose it, send it to me, and I'll say yay or nay. And after that, I'll record to the track, send it back to them, and they'll do like post-production and more creative arrangement to it. And then the song comes out. But yeah, that's what's up. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Doing his thing. What's the influence that you've seen that you all had, like, just being Christian, like, hip-hop artists, like, going to the Grammys and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You had an impact on secular rap and, like, secular rappers in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
definitely, man. Good. I think it's been cool lately to see Christian rap get, you know, mainstream media attention, because that's put us in a different space So now people are realizing that this thing is here. And there are so many stories, bro, of us and, you know, communicating with a lot of these guys and sharing the gospel with them. I know especially, like, with Young Noah and the Reach Records camp being in Atlanta, they bump into a lot of guys in the music industry there. I bumped into people on airplanes and stuff like that. And they typically, if the art is good, they typically will respect it and at least give you the time of day. So if your music sucks or it's just pitiful, they won't like it. They won't give you the time of day. Because my thought is the gospel is already in an offense. So you don't want to add to the offense by making whack music. So that's why we try to do our best in creating good art, you know, but coupling it with the gospel message. And at least people will give it an ear. But the Lord is doing the work. Like, a lot of people from the secular side are like Nicodemus at night, like coming up like, hey, tell me about your Lord, you know. So, but they probably won't go public yet. But at least we see God drawing people slowly from the secular market. So that's very encouraging, man. Good question.
Young Noah, have you had any good conversations in Atlanta or near there?
I had one.
At the airport on the way here, actually. I walked in the airport, got my ticket, blah, blah, blah. I was trying to find somewhere to sit down before I got on the plane. And I just sat by this guy randomly. I had a big mixing board with me that I used to record. So he asked me, like, you know, do you make beats? And I was like, not really. I just use this to record my vocals. And we just started talking about music. And it turns out he's a producer, like the producer for like T.I., Future, Wiz Khalifa, Young Jeezy. Like, he's like the guy. Wow. He's the guy they call to get beats. Yeah. And before I knew that, I was like, so how much do you charge for beats? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I might get some from you. He was like, you know, we're blessed. We're very blessed to be doing what we're doing.
I.e.
like 60,000. But I got a chance to share the gospel with him. You know, I got a chance to say, you know, I rap about Jesus. Here's the reason why. I used to rap about other stuff, but now I rap about what's actually happening in my heart. And I had a chance to just, you know, share the gospel with them, exchange contact information. And I don't know why God did it, but, you know, we'll see. Who knows?
Okay.
For any of you, how do you know, as a Christian musician, mm-hmm. how do you know how much of yourself as compared to God?
That's good. You want to take a crack at it or?
Wow. Right now, I'm not putting a lot of anything into music. My wife actually does want me to do an album. She's a very accomplished pianist, and so we've talked about doing piano and rap.
Oh,
piano rap.
That would be ridiculous.
So if it breaks out all over the world.
I think you should do that.
You know why. No, I'm just kidding. No. If it breaks out in my living room.
Yeah.
I think there's a place for telling your story in music. God has made us. And he's given us our story. We shared each of our three stories with music, and I think that can be used. That can be very much used in music.
Yeah,
that helps people connect with your stuff. So I'm all for all kinds of Christian rap. For example, Flame mentioned Cross Movement. Mm-hmm. They do more of what you could say preaching kind of music, I think, or, you know, they do a lot of that, I would say.
Yeah.
And that's great. Other Christian artists, I don't know, Grits or Mars Ill. Deep Space 5, they do a different kind of thing. They'll tell more stories, that sort of thing, talk about philosophical problems in life, that sort of thing. Yeah. I think there's room for lots of different styles, so long as you're not talking about yourself to draw attention to yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you're sharing your story, if you're sharing sin experiences that God has overcome, if you're talking about who God made. So, for example, if I was to do an EP, which I've thought about, I might do it on adoption because I'm adopted. And that's a subject I would really like to work out in music. Music allows you to express the cries of your heart in a way that's hard if you're just writing a blog post or an essay or a paper or something. Mm. That's one of the reasons I turn to music, to get out those things I can't otherwise. Mm. I would talk about my adoption, but I wouldn't be doing it to say, you know, here I am, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
I would be ultimately doing it to say, here's what God has done in my life.
Yeah, excellent.
What do you guys think?
That's excellent. Only thing, ditto, I say the same thing. I think what kind of helped me understand that was when I look at the Bible, God just, he just kind of sprinkles in portions of person's story. Like, you don't really hear, you know, everything and all of the sin problems with every Bible character. Every now and then you can see some of the personality traits from a particular Bible character. But nevertheless,
the story is always leading to toward God being a hero. So that's my thought. If my story eclipses God's glory, then I feel like I failed. If people leave more impressed with flame than Jesus, then I feel like I failed. So my intentions are to share enough of my life story that they will be impressed with God rather than, oh, I love flame. He's great, you know, and then they get to heaven and my name won't get him in, you know. So, but, yeah, I think, you know, with great balance, that would be very helpful. Yeah. Good question. Very good question. Yeah.
Yes, over here.
Yeah, that's a great question. We were talking about that last night. It's interesting when you travel the world and you see different ways of living and understanding the world, and then you come back home and you approach an album or a song, now your scope is broader because you want to communicate the gospel in an even more relevant way. So you're saying things now that persons in this continent can relate to. You're not only keeping it regional or you're in your own nation. So I've experienced that a lot. Especially being in a lot of third world countries, a lot of dangerous places, you know, I'll say things in my music that will encourage them because they may hear it on YouTube. And, you know, it's funny, I was in a country in Africa and they didn't really have access to my music, but they kind of like downloaded it off YouTube because that's all they couldn't. There's no iTunes for people in that country, so they had to get the music the best way they could. And I don't mind that in that scenario. But they were just sharing with me how encouraging the music was. And the concepts and the ideas in the music really encourage them because it's just not that easy for them to speak so boldly and out front about their faith. So, yeah, that's something I really like to incorporate in my music is my regional and continental experiences. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah.
Over here at Boyce, we have a rapper. He's a student from Kazakhstan.
That's right.
Essentially Russia. So we are drawing rappers from all over the world to this place.
Seriously.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, truly.
So there you go. I saw you first and then.
Are you friends with Gray? Yeah, man, he's my good buddy. He's a lot taller than me, you probably observed, but yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He's on my new record, The Sixth.
The Sixth.
On iTunes now. You can download it, I'm just playing, but yeah, he's on the Yeah, yep. That's the set.
Right here.
Favorite song to perform live? Man, let me see. That's a tough one because with each new album, it kind of changes. But I'll tell you what's a fan favorite. Like, if I don't perform it, fans will probably, you know, have my head. Joyful Noise track. You know what I mean? I have to do that. I have to. Even if I don't want to, I have to.
How many times have you done it? Estimate.
Countless. Estimate. Probably about a good over 500 times. Yeah.
500 times.
Over 500 times.
Okay, wow. In the back.
It's easy. I have a booth, and I keep my cape. And No, but let me see. It's cool because, my local church really plays a role in my record label, in my ministry, and they just – They take prayer requests. They, how can we serve you while you're away? Can we check your mail? Can we cut your grass? How can we pray for you? So they really try to serve us when we're away. And then they ask me, how are you doing with your wife? And, you know, quality time with her and prioritizing your relationship with your wife. And my wife travels with me to every concert. So that's fun. But nevertheless, they really help me stay focused in that way. You know, God uses them. So I'd really have priorities and boundaries and things set in place to help me understand my world and how to navigate throughout all the madness. So in your, you know, analogy, that's the Marcus-ness of me, and they help me stay focused that way. And in Flame, I turn it on when lights, camera, action, you know, it's time to go. And that's pretty much how I keep it. Flame, let me see. I'll let Young Noah tell a story. But in short, mine just came from studying the book of Jeremiah. He had to say hard things to people that didn't want to hear it. And he says, you know what, God? I don't want to make mention of your name anymore. He says, but your word is like a fire shot up in my bones. So I thought that passion to communicate God's heart in spite of the consequences kind of described my passion, my fire. So Flame came, you know.
Yeah, I got my my rap name for a couple different reasons. One, I was young. Not as young anymore. But
still young.
Young in heart.
Younger than him.
But anyway, I Noah was a Bible character who preached the same message for a very long time. He kept saying, "It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain." And I feel like I'm called to preach. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and that's my message. I have to preach for the rest of my life. Like, it doesn't change. I have one message, the return of Christ. You know, be ready for it. Also, the Bible says that in the last days of Earth's history, it will be like the days of Noah. You know, it'll be like people will just be living regular, getting married, getting drunk, committing crimes, having fun, going to the beach, spring break, and then Christ will come. And I feel like we're living in those days of the end times, and Christ can come at any moment. You know, according to biblical prophecy, like, most of it has happened, you know, and I just think he's coming. So, young Noah.
And my name is Crosswords, my rap name.
Oh, nice.
If you want my CD, this is where you can get mine. OwenStrand.com /about.
Nice.
And my I got my rap name from Ephesians, the idea that the gospel is a mystery, the Pauline epistles. The gospel's a mystery, like a crossword puzzle that you can't figure out. So we have to preach the gospel so people can figure it out.
Nice.
There we go. Okay. Yes.
Actually, he's on my last record, Captured, on a song titled Put On.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know.
More stuff
maybe? I don't know, man. I like to keep it surprised. But I also like to, you know, add new artists, new vocal, you know, performers on the record.
Maybe one of you?
Yeah, you know. Somebody new to the table
as well.
Who out
here, I want to ask, who out here raps? Seriously, who out here writes raps? Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed of your rap
side.
Who
out here has written a rap before?
People start crying.
Come on. Come on. Okay.
Forgive me, Lord.
All right.
I wrote a rap yesterday.
Okay. Listen to me. This is Grammy nominated. I am not. But you can use your gift however God gives. You can use the flute. You can use singing. You can use whatever you do for God's glory. So even if you don't do rap, be emboldened. But if you do rap, then submit it to Flame.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we have time for just one more question. And I saw your hand, and then we are going to close it.
Nice. Yeah, good question. I haven't toured with any secular musicians, but I have done secular venues. So I've been to concerts and venues where I was literally the only Christian artist. And it's an interesting environment to be in because, you know, number one, you're the eyeball. And number two, people, once they hear your message, they're always caught off guard. But it was cool because we're in America, most people have Christian leanings. So like I said, they come to you like Nicodemus by the night, and they share with you, and they have all these questions just because they see you're out front about the things that are familiar to them and probably how they grew up. So it always leads to opportunities to share my faith. And but only way I'll do those events is with the right elements in place. Like, I don't recommend artists just go into bars and clubs just because they want to be radical and bold, unless they have the right accountability and the right thought process and prayer and things like that involved. But I have done a few of those in the span of my ministry, and I've seen the Lord do some things. But for the most part, I like to just rally around the church. The church gets excited about the gospel, and then we go out and, you know, as a local church and do things like that. So I'm trying to push people back to the local church rather than just these separate little sects to do stuff. You know what
okay.
I mean? So, yeah.
All right. All right. Now, is anyone out there a beatboxer? I need a serious beatboxer.
Wowzers.
Let's do some quick auditions, okay? You got to give me a good beat because we're going to freestyle off
the beat. Okay. Are we going this way?
We're going to go this way. Okay, ready? Hold on. We're going to do auditions for the beatboxer. So you got to stay with me, okay?
Or we
ready?
Can do acapella. Either way, no pressure.
Can you beatbox? Give it to me. Okay, good job. Okay. Next, who? Yes, back here. Can you give me an audition? What do you have?
I didn't wake up in the morning thinking I was going.
You got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Like that.
What? Who else? Who else? You? Yeah. Here we go. Give it a try.
You can do it. Just close your eyes. We're not here right now. Nice.
Wow, that was
nice.
Good. Okay. Are you a beatboxer? She pointed to you. So.
I don't know why you're calling on me right now.
Okay. Do you want to just acapella?
Let me see. Let me try to. Let me just. I might do some acapella. Let me see.
Now, are you making this up or are you doing this?
I might pull from my data bank. Let me see. Let me see.
Wait. Do you want the three of?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Unicorns. Thank you. Do you want an original freestyle or do you want a rap that we have rapped? What do you want? Freestyle or rap?
I knew it.
Freestyle. Can you freestyle?
Yeah, let's see. Let me see.
This will level the playing field a little bit.
Let me see. All right. So I guess I'm starting it, huh?
You're definitely starting.
Okay, let me see. La-da-da. Let me see. Let me see. 1, 2, 1, 2. I spit Jesus. People think that makes me weak. But if you suffer without Jesus, then your muscle is weak. If you hustle without Jesus, then your work is in vain. You can see the sunshine, but you prefer the rain. You block wise words out because the herb then came. You should reevaluate and then serve a man. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
give you a little something. That's a quick little.
Young Noah, you do what you want to do, man.
I'm not a freestyler, man.
Do what you, if you want to do a verse for us, you
but
can.
But I'm going to do the best that I can. God changed my life. He invested in man. Now I travel the world. I'm cruising in vans. I thank God for this gift. I used to split blunts and smoke weed. But now I realize he is all that I need. Every night I'm on my knees and I beg and I plead for mercy and grace. I'm all in his face like, Jesus, help me. Give me your reason. Give me your reason to breathe. I was struggling with sin. He gave me a reason to leave. I'm holding his hand. I got a reason to cleave. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you did, all that you done. I trust in the Son. I used to carry a gun. Now I'm carrying none.
Nice.
Wow.
No pressure.
Okay.
We're co-laborers.
Maybe I should do something I've written.
That'd be tight.
Not a competition.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Standing at the front of the class, wondering if I pass. But that's okay because, yo, I got everything I need in Jesus Christ. I'll last. For eternity, that's what I've been learning. Over the seasons, know that there are many reasons for leaving this world and this life. Struggle with the strife, the knife cuts so thin. But, yo, check it out. I know that I'm carried with him. Got union with the Son. That's all that I need. It's done. That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Excellent. That was good.
You should not envy me having to rap after these guys. Next time, I'm rapping first.
That'll be. But it's funny, there is this thing called reverse battle. So, you know, like in a secular hip-hop, they just go, you know, bar for bar trying to shred each other's heads apart. But I went to California and I heard about this thing called reverse battle. And you have to, like, try to build the next person up rather than tear them down. It's the hardest thing to do. Like, just try it sometime. Just freestyle talking about how good somebody God has been to somebody. It's super hard. Just try it. It's fun, though.
Okay, we're going to close with this. Flame is going to pray, and then you're dismissed for lunch, okay?
Let's do it. Lord God, we thank you for this time. You are our Lord. You are our master. You are our treasure. I pray that you would continue to impress us with yourself, lead us away from sin and temptation, Lord, and give us a stronger hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yeah. Let us enjoy the rest of this day and this time in the conference. In your presence, be pleased. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.